Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Relationship OCD, a CBT-based guide to move beyond obsessive doubt, anxiety, and fear of commitment in romantic relationships by Shiva Rajai, MFT. Narrated by Siri Scott. Publisher's note. This audiobook will refer to visual elements included in the print and e-book editions of the book. Disclaimer. This publication is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering psychological, financial, legal, or other professional services. If expert assistance or counseling is needed, the services of a competent professional should be sought. No people named in this book reflect actual clients. The stories presented here are amalgamations. Introduction. Lila, a 30-year-old marketing director, is getting married in just 2 months. And so far, all she knows for certain is that she's absolutely terrified to take the next step. She nervously fidgets on the denim blue couch in my office as she wonders aloud, is it even fair to stand in front of him and his entire family and say yes when I'm having all these doubts? I mean, I'm just supposed to know, aren't I? I resist the gnawing urge to jump in and try to save her from the pain she's feeling today, a pain I've seen hundreds of times before. Instead, I readjust in my chair and wait as she continues. Of course, the hard part is that he's actually amazing. I've never been treated better in my entire life. We laugh all the time, share similar values, and really care about each other. He's exactly the kind of partner I would have hoped for, but I don't always have that feeling. You know what I mean? I know exactly what Lila means, and my guess is, so do you. She is about to make one of the biggest commitments of her life, and she would like to be absolutely certain that she isn't making a mistake. She would like to have that feeling, the one she was promised she would feel one day, an indicator she has found the right person. She would like to have reassurance that, in committing to this person, she won't ever feel regret or hurt, or find herself falling in love with someone else. She would like certainty that, out of all the millions of options in the world, the person she has chosen will fulfill her, excite her, challenge her, and love her, no matter what, until the end of time. In short, Lila is asking me how she can possibly move forward when her reality doesn't match up with the love story she was promised. We all know the story. It's practically imprinted on us since birth. Girl meets boy. It's usually just that binary, and they have instant chemistry, an undeniable attraction. He's the man she's always dreamed of, the dashing knight who takes away her pain and completes her so that she wants for nothing. She is his soulmate, the woman he's waited for all his life, who accepts him unconditionally and knows exactly what he needs without his ever needing to express it. Together, they live in perfect harmony, craving nothing and no one else in life because they have one another. Two perfect children and an impossibly large and somehow affordable home follow suit as they grow old together, nestled by the cozy fireside of their love. Boy and girl have found the one, their soul's counterpoint in one another. We look on and think, those two figured it out. They really are the lucky ones. Now, consider the thousands of ways you've been told this story, what we'll call the myth of the one. Have you ever heard it described as a myth, which honors some level of fantasy and untruth? More likely, you understood it to be a fact of life. Consider, then, how you grew up to expect some version of this story in your adult relationships, and perhaps how disappointed you might have felt to discover it wasn't quite as easy as you hoped it would be to find this particular brand of love. The myth of the one, which I'll refer to in this book by the shorthand form MOTO, sounds like this. If only you find the right one, the right person, all your pain and suffering will vanish, and you'll live happily ever after. You won't need to work too hard on your relationship, because it will feel natural and easy. You'll just know it when you feel it, and if you don't feel it, you're probably settling. But that's just not true. And while real love is somewhat less glamorous, it is no less worthy. The actual process of loving another person takes willingness, patience, and plenty of hard work. Good relationships are hard to find, and even harder to maintain, requiring Herculean efforts of vulnerability, patience, and selflessness to thrive. They are not for the weak of heart, and they certainly don't just happen to us. To love fully, we must choose to lower our walls and resistances, allowing another person to see us, to see all of us, even the, I can't show these parts of me, they're ugly and unlovable parts. Real love requires that we constantly evaluate and reevaluate our own blocks and insecurities, and that we commit not only to the other, but to a process of endless self-growth. MOTO says that finding the right person is a straight shot to lifelong certainty and security, and healthy relationships certainly do offer some of this. But the truth is that real love requires a profound tolerance of uncertainty. It requires great risk and the willingness to walk forward even when you don't know what's up ahead and are terrified to find out. It's no wonder that Lila is having anxiety about her choice. She's about to take one of the most important and impactful risks of her life, and her anxious brain wants to be absolutely sure she's not making a huge mistake. Lifetime commitment can give anyone cold feet, and it's normal to feel apprehension and anxiety when facing life's most important decisions. But for Lila, and probably for you, this is no ordinary doubt. And the questions she's asking me about the rightness of her partnership aren't new. They've been explored before. In fact, it's easily the 100th time Lila has asked some version of this same question in the last month alone. Almost every week, Lila comes to session with relentless doubts about the rightness of her partner and the trueness of her love. No matter how many times she has been reassured by friends and family members, and no matter how many times she has decided she loves her fiancé, Lila's brain still keeps asking that same painful, gnawing question. What if you're making the biggest mistake of your life? The core of what Lila feels is universal. We all want certainty. But her need to acquire that certainty is not. Like you, she's begun to wonder if her doubts are more than just typical nerves. Do these thoughts sound familiar? You know, the ones that pop up, seemingly out of nowhere, asking hundreds of times per day, what if they are the wrong person? Are we really compatible, or am I just settling? Or even, what if this is all a lie, and I'm just duping myself into thinking this is true love? Are these thoughts, painful enough on their own, accompanied by gut-wrenching anxiety, mental fog, panic, and maybe even aversion to your loved one's presence? If so, you might be struggling with more than just cold feet. So you turn to your friends and family members, hoping for clarity. But they hear your doubts and assume, Maybe there isn't enough chemistry, or they're just not the one. You'll know it when you feel it, and encourage you to break it off and move on. But breaking up doesn't feel quite right either. You find yourself stuck, unable to commit more in the relationship because of your obsessive doubts, but also unwilling to leave. If you do decide to leave this person, or they decide to leave you, you don't feel any better. In fact, you might feel that leaving them was the real mistake. Sure, dating is confusing, and all breakups are hard, but this feels different. The temporary relief you feel at no longer experiencing intrusive thoughts is replaced with a new worry. Did I just let my anxiety get the best of me? Dazed and confused, you eventually move on to another relationship, only to see the same pattern. There's no one out there for me, you conclude. Or maybe this is when you succumb to one of the most isolating phrases in the human experience. I'm just not meant for love. Of course, not all breakups are caused by your anxiety, and there's no good reason to stay in a truly toxic partnership. None of the tools, principles, and theories in this book have been conceptualized for relationships where trust and respect have been eroded or destroyed. If signs of verbal, physical, or sexual abuse exist in your relationship, don't skip ahead. Instead, consider speaking to a mental health professional, as feeling doubt about abuse, toxicity, and dismissive or disrespectful behavior is a marker of psychological health, not an anxiety disorder. But what if the problem isn't the person you're with or the connection you share? What if the problem is that you are experiencing a theme of obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, known as relationship OCD, R-OCD, which affects hundreds of thousands of people per year and is much more an anxious way of thinking than a good reason to leave a loving partnership? R-OCD is a manifestation of anxiety marked by obsessive doubts about your relationship, whether you love your partner, whether your partner loves you, how attracted you are to your partner, how compatible you are, and, of course, if they are the one. These doubts occupy your mind, driving you to engage in compulsive behaviors like reassurance seeking, ruminating, and distancing yourself from your partner to avoid feeling triggered. Over time, these persistent doubts and compulsive behaviors can cause resentment, insecurity, and relationship disillusionment. What's worse, left untreated, your anxiety can keep you from ever having the good love you've hoped for. It can keep you isolated and alone while you endlessly seek to find the perfect person, the one who won't trigger your fears. The possibility of having anxiety might be unsettling, but recognizing and addressing this is the starting point to profound healing. And if you have relationship anxiety or ROCD, you are in no way doomed to a lifetime of pain and lovelessness. There is a path forward. How do I know recovery is possible? Because years before I trained to become a therapist, I was embroiled in a battle with my own intrusive thoughts and crippled by the anxiety that came along with them. As a freshman at UCLA, I remember sitting in my dorm room late at night, genuinely worrying that I was losing my mind because of the frequency and intensity of my intrusive thoughts, wondering how I could ever feel normal with a brain as loud and horrific as mine. Back then, it was, "What if I have cancer and I don't catch it in time?" But since those early days, my OCD has evolved to many other themes, including ROCD, all with the same underlying urgency to find the answer. I spent years seeking reassurance, drowning my pain in avoidance, and seeing therapist after therapist as I looked for the magical solution that would solve all my problems and put my mind at ease. That perfect answer never came, but I found peace anyway. Learning to manage and live with OCD, including ROCD, has been the most difficult, painful, and simultaneously beautiful experience in my life. It's been excruciating work, and I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. I've hurt people I love. I've had days when I have felt like the worst person in the world, like a horrible partner and a selfish friend, days when I felt undecidedly undeserving of love. There have been other days when I've been overcome by the way my experiences have humbled and humanized me, and by the way my suffering has transformed me for the better. My relationship with anxiety is complicated, but after years of work, I feel like I'm on the other side. What does this mean? It means that I live with OCD every single day, but it doesn't control my actions, and it doesn't call the shots. Anxiety was with me the day I finished my graduate studies, and it was there the day I started private practice. It was there beside me at the altar a few years later, whispering in my ear as I gave my vows and looked into the eyes of the incredible person that I was choosing to share my life with. Most mornings, I open my eyes, and anxiety is already awake, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, eagerly waiting to start the day with a fresh set of worries. I know my anxiety isn't going anywhere. It's part of who I am. But I have learned to coexist with it, to allow it a seat at the table, where it is present but no longer interrupts the quality of my life. As I became a therapist and then specialized in the treatment of anxiety disorders and OCD, I was shocked to see how little information was out there for those walking the same lonely path I was. I was shocked to see how hopeless some felt when I knew and could see every day how possible meaningful recovery could be. In the decade I have spent specializing in the treatment of anxiety and OCD, hundreds of individuals have come to me desperate for an answer to what they feel is a crucial question. Is my partner the one? The thing is, I can never answer this question for my clients, and I can never answer this question for you. Life is filled with unanswerable questions, and simple answers simply won't work. Instead, you'll need to develop a strategy with far more lasting power than a one-time answer. You must learn to tolerate the uncertainty at the core of being human and at the heart of what it means to love. The truth is, no matter how hard your anxiety will try to convince you otherwise, you don't need to know if your partner is the one to have great love. You don't have to have all the answers to be happy. In this book, I'll show you how to have a meaningful relationship without perfect answers. I'll show you what's causing your relationship anxiety, help you challenge faulty thinking, and develop the all-important mindset of willingness in the face of discomfort and doubt. Through this work, I'll aim to answer, what is relationship anxiety and how does it keep us in a worry loop? What tools and strategies can you implement to better manage your anxiety and grow connection and quality in your relationship? If you can't rely on the motto, then what kind of love story should you hope for? The love you've always wanted is possible. It just might not look exactly like the story you've been sold. And to get there, you'll have to push through fear. You'll have to tear down your walls and retire your defenses, because fear blocks attraction. It blocks intimacy and it blocks connection. Fear blocks love. If you want to find the love you seek, you will have to let go of fear and embrace uncertainty with open arms. You'll have to divorce Modo and redefine altogether what good love looks and feels like. I'll show you how. Using research-backed interventions from the world of cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, we'll start by challenging faulty assumptions about love, connection, and what relationships should be. Then, we'll utilize acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT, to expand your willingness to feel anxiety while still moving toward the values you hold and the kind of relationship you want. Finally, I'll show you how to harness the power of exposure and response prevention, ERP, to create healthier relationships, deeper intimacy, and yes, less anxiety. I've had the privilege of doing this work with thousands of clients and watched as session after session, they have achieved lasting growth. I've watched clients struggle along the way and still keep climbing, and I have been honored to walk right beside them every step of the way. I've been emotional, let's be honest, cried, receiving updates from clients who've gone on to create the life they envisioned and the love they wanted, even after years of torturous, intrusive thinking and anxiety. If it sounds like hard work to confront your ROCD thoughts and make peace with anxiety, let me tell you, it absolutely is. In fact, it might be one of the hardest things you'll ever do. But the very fact that you're here means there is something or someone worth fighting for. There's a reason to face your fears. After all, ROCD doesn't show up in just any relationship. It shows up in good ones, ones with lasting power, ones that might actually be worth doing the work for. And while Modo says it should be effortless, true and lasting love, the kind worth transforming for, doesn't come easily. Rather, you'll come to see that love, the kind that heals and inspires us, is a daily habit. A habit of turning toward when you want to turn away. Of staying open when all you want to do is run and hide. And of trusting you'll be okay even when there is no clear path forward. You'll come to see that love, in words attributed to relationship philosopher Erich Fromm, isn't something natural. Rather, it requires discipline, concentration, practice, faith, and the overcoming of narcissism. It isn't a feeling. It is a practice. Let's get started. Part 1. The Myth of the One. Chapter 1. The Anxious Spiral. This is a book about relationships and a book about anxiety. In fact, this book is as much about your relationship to anxiety as it is a guide to more fulfilling relationships. Whether through nature, nurture, or a combination of both, your anxious brain has decided that relationships, commitment, and love are dangerous. It has decided that the only way to mitigate the risk involved in losing another person is to warn you of all the possible downsides 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Anxiety doesn't take vacation time. So, while you spend hours debating whether you love your partner enough, whether they love you enough, or whether you're making the biggest mistake of your life in committing to them, your anxiety wins. It keeps you safe by keeping you separated. And while it may be tempting to jump right in and talk about how to feel more connected to your real-life partner, we've got to understand anxiety first. We've got to start, as any good couples therapist managing an argument would, by illuminating the dynamics at play not just in your real-life relationship, but in your relationship to anxiety. Because the fight you've been waging on anxiety, all the ways you've been trying to solve, escape, or avoid it, is keeping you from the very thing you want most, to love and to be loved. I know that if you've picked up this book, it's probably because you want to feel more connected to your partner. You want to feel more love, fulfillment, attraction, and desire, and you have a hunch that your anxiety is standing in the way. Perhaps you've already attempted to solve the burning questions on your own and have spent hours, months, or even years trying to negotiate a peace deal with the painful voice in your head, the one that spews doubt and the what-if horror stories on a 24/7 loop. Usually, by the time someone has looked up relationship anxiety or ROCD, or has found their way into my office for treatment, they've realized that all the fighting and solving hasn't given them what they wanted. Their anxiety hasn't gone away. In fact, they, like you, might feel more confused and filled with doubt than ever. Don't get me wrong. I completely understand why you would be up in arms. Anxiety doesn't exactly make it easy to peacefully coexist. Rather, it poses thousands of questions and sends a barrage of doubt and discomfort your way, making it all but impossible to lay down your weapons and play nice. So, you try to solve, or answer, the burning questions and find relief. Except, attempting to solve chronic doubt is exactly the wrong thing to do. It gets you in trouble and keeps your anxiety alive and well. Wait, I'm not supposed to figure out if I truly love my partner, or if they truly love me, or if I'm making the right choice? That's exactly right. Seeking certainty breeds more uncertainty. Like a finger trap toy that gets tighter as you pull, the real answer is to accept no answer at all. And if this sounds confusing and counterintuitive, that's exactly the point. Fighting and solving away your anxiety hasn't worked, and it's time to try something entirely different. Now, you might be wondering, but how can I move forward without knowing the answer to these important questions? I completely understand your concern. It's hard not to want answers when the thoughts forcing their way into your head are terrifying, painful, and even cruel at times. It's hard not to get caught up trying to solve away the questions anxiety poses when they are incessant and accompanied by painful physical sensations that wrench your gut, fog your mind, and pull you out of the present moment when they demand to be heard. That's the tricky thing. Your anxiety is an expert at getting your attention. It knows exactly what to say to elicit a response and shows up with a terrifying sense of urgency. It's no wonder you've been fighting so much. This experience is truly painful. Just like the finger trap toy, the way out is to relax into the feeling you've been trying to avoid for so long and allow anxiety to release its grip on you all on its own. To make peace with the nagging voice in your mind and make space for the discomfort it causes. To give up the fight. That's a tall order, but brokering a peace deal might seem a little easier when we remember that anxiety isn't some evil curse sent to destroy our life. In fact, every single person you know has anxiety. They just experience it in varying degrees. Every single person you know has a dark and sometimes taboo voice in their head that whispers things like, "What if you push that person into the street right now?" Or, "You glanced at that baby's bottom when you were changing her diaper. Are you some sort of pervert? The difference is that for most people, these thoughts come and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?